And you're in Canada, huh?
Yep.
What part?
Where? Calgary, Alberta.
Calgary, Alberta. I think we came through there with Schenkerfest a while ago.
Yep,
maybe
sure
2 years ago.
Yeah, because we talked to you that was the first time we talked to you just after that. And I had gone to see that and loved it so much.
I don't know why I didn't get to see it, but I did.
Yeah, 2 hours, you know. I'm surprised people didn't fall asleep.
I was ready for another 2 hours, personally.
Yeah, it's amazing because, you know, as the singers, at least we get a chance to walk off the stage and be... But, you know, Schenker's up there, Machine Gun Kelly. You're quite amazing watching him, really.
He's a beast.
I'm playing better, I think, now than ever.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, saying something.
Yeah, no, I've seen him throughout all of the years at different phases, and he just, he's the most focused I think I've ever seen him, and he has a plan. He has a plan, and he's somebody. I remember listening one time, somebody said, Jimi Hendrix used to get out of bed in the morning, go make breakfast, strap his guitar on and never take it off. And I can attest to that because Schenker does the same thing. That guitar, it never leaves his body. It's just all the time.
Sure you always walk around with a microphone, right?
Dude. Of course.
It's like a scarf now.
Flapjacks, omelets.
All right, well, we better get to the interview here before we run out of time. I know.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
That's right.
Well, we got to talk about this album. It's so good. Such a good album. So we got to talk about it.
Thank you.
All right, Brett.
So yeah, we'll introduce you and then we'll just keep it all together.
Cool. You're in control. Don't look to me for pointers at all.
Okay. It's okay. We've done this a time or two before.
Yeah, I bet you have.
Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear. Once again, I'm Martin, and I have with me somebody who's got a phone going. I don't know what's going on there, but the king of the casters, Mr. Brett Podcast. We're doing good here today, Brett, because we got somebody who's probably, I don't know if he's the number one person we'd like to talk to, but I do know he's at least 1A.
That's right. One of our absolute favorite guests, one of our absolute favorite singers. He has a new album coming out, new solo album on May 7th, Standing on the Edge, Robin McCauley. Robin, we're so happy to have you back.
Good morning, gentlemen. It is my pleasure as we talk music and we talk live, and it is Friday, so happy Friday, and thanks for having me back. It's great.
Well, honestly, I mean, love the album. Like I told you this morning when we briefly chatted, it's just like I was playing it again because I can never decide what my favorite song is on the album, because I listen to it and then I'm like, oh, I think it's that one. And then I'll go through a few more and then it's just like, oh, I think it's that one. And then it ends and I'm like, no, I can't remember. I'll have to listen to it all again.
I'm glad you feel that way because I'll make this brief, but I really didn't want to record this, period. I had no idea where to start. I didn't know how it would end. I'm not really, I think as you probably have guessed, I'm not much for solo records. The only one that ever came out in 1999 was never actually written as a solo record. It was just sitting there and a Japanese label said, let's put it out as a solo record. So when Frontiers asked me to do this, in their words, to keep the momentum before the next Black Swan record. I went, why on earth would you want to do that? And who will listen to it? And how would I go about it? And all of that sort of stuff. So I kind of procrastinated and went, say, yeah, I don't want to do this. And it took a good month or so, even though I was sitting at home in the middle of a pandemic or the beginning of it. You know, you would think I wanted something to do. But here we are with Standing on the Edge. I'm really happy I did it. As a solo record, I tried to make it balanced, you know, a little bit of everything that I've done, not everything, but, you know, touching on different writers from the Grand Prix days to Howard Leese with Hart that I work with, you know, I was working with 5 nights a week on the Vegas show. And then lucky enough to work with Tommy Denander up there in Sweden, who of course worked with Jimmy Jamieson for Survivor. So I had another contact there. And of course, Tommy on the new Alice Cooper record, Detroit Spaces, you know, picking up his gold and platinum awards, you know, and I'm going, my record's not even out yet, man. Yeah. So I hope people like it and I hope they listen to it like you this morning, Brett. And they see that it's kind of a little story. I like reading, so it's kind of a book, beginning, middle, and an end, you know. And my favorite part is the album cover. I had this concept. Yeah. I had the concept, and you know, I was a big Batman fan. So I love Gotham, and I went, okay, let me think how we do this. So I come up with the song Standing on the Edge, and I went, the label said, any ideas for the art, for the cover? And I went, I do, actually. And I went, how would gargoyles see the mess that we're in right now? If they were perched up there like, you know, like the goats, how would they look at this today, tomorrow, next week, next month, a year from now, and go, boy, you guys really fucked this up. There's no easy way to say that. Bleep. Anyway, that was kind of where I was going with it, and then I, you know, the rest kind of followed suit. So, amen. Lord, forgive me. He knows not to be saved.
Well, you know, it's awesome because, you know, you talk about Batman and Gotham, and it's just like, geez, I'm thinking, can I like this guy any more than I already do? Like,
but you get the concept now.
Oh, yeah.
The seed, right? You know, and it's what a better way to take an overview on the mess that we as human beings and individuals, you know. I mean, I said to somebody earlier this morning that, you know, you've often heard if there was another nuclear holocaust, you know, the only ones that would survive probably would be the cockroaches. Well, you know, I think we've seen enough cockroaches come out of the sewers during this pandemic in ways that we couldn't imagine. And like, the hatred and abuse and the lack of respect. And it's like, come on, people. It's a pandemic. We're going to get over this. You know, we're not going to die unless you want to die. You know, do as you're told and disbelieve it if you want it. But, you know, don't blame it on the other guy. Whatever, you know. Anyway, I'm done now.
Okay. I'm looking over at my Batman cookie jar right now. Yeah, that's... I'm thinking, yeah, we got the same thing here going. A few Batman things going on around here.
Guys, that's why I love you guys. They'll understand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you know
they
it.
They will understand.
Camera faces the other way, got a bat sign going on. So
it's true, he does. It's big, too.
Yeah. So, thank you for listening. You know, it's to the point. I'm very happy with the record, and I hope people listen to it, like it, and as I always say, play it really loud with good headphones.
It's, you know, the thing about it is it's heavier than I expected. I mean, it's ooh, got definitely got a melodic rock feel to it, but it's heavier than I expected too, and I love that.
You know, I get criticized over the beginning with Shankar. You know, oh, this guy just made Shankar way too poppy, you know, and I always say, I didn't write the music, he did. Mm-hmm. I just wrote the lyrics and the melodies, dude. You know, don't come after my ass, you know. And so you work with it, and that was the 80s. We were supposed to be commercial. It was demanded upon us, you know. Write me a song that's going to go on MTV, you know. And who does that really, unless you're some kind of composer? I'm not a composer, you know. You throw it up, and if the dice falls and you're lucky enough to get something that people like, it's a good day. With Standing on the Edge, I got so much great music. I found myself under enormous pressure because I'm listening to just the basic music tracks. There was no overdubs, no guitars, no keys, no nothing. Just the basic tracks. I had maybe 15, 20 songs to pick from, So I needed to pick a direction that was some kind of cohesiveness to it. I didn't want it to be all one, you know, one dimension. And so I carefully picked, and working with the different players, like my old keyboard player from Grand Prix and Howard Lees and Tommy Denander, and then Alessandro, you know, who produced and mixed it. I wanted a good balance. And so I purposely went down that road in the hopes that I'd come out with something that people would go, wow, that's different, but it still matches. And it's, you know, and I think the two tracks kind of in the middle of the record, Runaway and Want to Take a Ride, I purposely stuck those in there. And I'm going, I am just going to throw some spanners into the works here and see what happens. And, you know, when the music for Runaway came in, I was completely in a second. I was back in Ireland as a 6-year-old kid. I was out in the fields behind my house when we used to try and race the rain. You could see the rain coming across the fields, and we'd go, let's race at home. We never did. You know, we got our asses kicked because we got soaked. And that came like that. I wrote that. I put it down, sent Alessandro a rough, and I went, they're just going to hate this. My vision was, dude, I put my headphones on when I got started listening to the mixes, and I went, okay, we need rain. We need rain. So I'm on the phone to him, and I go, dude, I need lots of rain at the top of this track, more rain at the end. And I want to make it sound very symphonic, and I want it to be like a movie soundtrack. And I just want to sit back in a dark room with my headphones on, and I just want to, that's all I ever wanted from the track. Not people are going to go, oh, yeah, this is this. I'm not into all of that. I just wanted the song on its own to stand up and be just a nice piece of music. And the same thing went when I heard the music for Want to Take a Ride. But as soon as I heard the intro riff, I started smiling, and I'm going, dude, I can get up when I can go to the beach, which is only 40 minutes away. And I'd had so much of staying at home. You can't do this, and you can't go there, and you wear your mask this. And I'm going, I'll be in the car. I'll be in the car, and I have to wear the mask. And I go and take a ride to the beach. And that's where the whole lyric came from. Escapism. Get the hell out of here. And then I went back to finishing the record on whatever else came out of it. So, you know, it's like you get into the middle and you go, okay, let's move out of this headspace and go somewhere else. And so for me, it worked. I mean, that sounds a bit selfish and conceited, but it's my record. I can do what the hell I want.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, and here's the interesting thing, Robin, is that, like, my mother-in-law is Irish. And so when I heard Runaway, I knew right off the bat, like, I'm like, this is Ireland. This is Ireland. Robin's a young boy, and this is it.
See? Another reason why I like coming on this show. We should get together and have a hoolie.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, and that was the thing, right, too, watching the video for Standing on the Edge. It was like, I'm just watching you spin the mic stand and stuff like that, and I'm just thinking, I'm remembering back to the Schenkerfest days, and I'm like, God damn, I want to see Robin live again.
Yeah, people were calling me and going, dude, are those your cars? And I'm going, of course they are, dude. Not. You know? And the video producer, he just found this place out in the desert. And he goes, dude, I found this really cool location. It's completely isolated, perfect for what we're doing. And I think we should shoot it. The colors are going to be great. And then we'll move it around the place. And I went, perfect, you know. And initially there was only the outdoor shots up in the hills of Malibu, of all places. And I saw the cut, and I went, yeah, I'm not feeling the message here. I think what we need to do is this guy needs to come out of city life, and he needs to have a vision of I need to get the hell out of here, because I'm on the precipice of change. Everything's changing around me. I need to change too. I need to escape. And that's really what it was. And the title track is very much about, so much went on this year, and so many different sides of people started to emerge, not very pretty, some of it. And You know, tomorrow's page will be fresh, and we can put a fresh coat of paint on there, paint it a different color. And that's kind of all I was trying to say. I'm not into politics. I don't have a clue about politics. There's enough idiots, you know, messing that up. And I really wanted to just say, in plain, simple Irish English, we're on the edge of making a brand new decision, a new day, a new ray of sunshine. Let's do it right. Let's put up that stuff behind us if we can. And then, of course, the very end track, as you run out the door at the end of the record, you know, running out of time. Is it done? Did we get it done? You know, because there's always a window of opportunity, and you can either take advantage of it or you can miss it. And really, that was the whole record in a little 12-inch square. You know, let's see what we can do with this. You know, so whatever happens outside of music, that we can move forward and do something good for each other instead of bitching, criticizing and pointing the finger on it. It'd be nice. It'd be nice, you know. And let's go to the pub. You know? Yeah. Are your pubs open?
No. It's rough around here.
Dude.
Yeah, it's rough around here right now.
Just patios.
Well, we're supposed to have full opening. We, California, June 15th. Nevada, i.e. Vegas, June 1. Texas is already open, sees no spikes. You know, the funny thing is, just not to digress, but, you know, I wear the mask. I go out, I have to go to the grocery store, and I swear. I break out in a fit of coughing. Because I'm wearing that thing and I'm thinking, I'm breathing CO2. Whoever told you that breathing CO2? Imagine the medical people, 6, 8 hours, 12 hours a day, breathing their CO2 in.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine.
Wait, job. Wait till a few months comes down the road and we're going, you know, that time with the mask, all of that stuff that you were breathing, that wasn't good for you either.
Yeah.
And my wife, in the midst of everything else that she does, went to nursing school. She's been on her bucket list. We've been together 30 years, and she's always wanted to be a nurse, and she's almost ready to graduate. And she was up on the front lines when the vaccines became available, so she was out there for the best part of a month, jabbing people.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so, the worst movie you've ever seen. This past year.
Pretty much.
Seems exactly. Almost never ending.
A song called Runaway, because that's basically all I wanted to do.
Some could call it a never ending nightmare.
Whoa.
Oh, well done. That
might do a good shot there.
You know, I want to talk about a couple of my favorite songs while we're at it here, because I Want to Take a Ride was my second favorite song. Like a Ghost is my third favorite song. So tell me about I at least love the opening to Like a Ghost. It sounds a little bit different than everything else on the album.
Yes. When the label, you know, they said do a solo record, and I'm thinking I have no idea what to do. About 18 months ago, on a plane ride to France with Michael Schenkerfest, the Uriah Heep guys were on the plane. And of course, the keyboard player, Phil Lanzen, was my old keyboard player back from the Grand Prix days. And so Phil and I started talking, and I went, oh my God, dude, do you get the same question? You know, will we ever see a Grand Prix reunion? And we go, probably not, you know? So when the solo thing came up, that was my first thought. I'm going to call Phil, who lives in the UK. I'm going to call Phil and I'm going to say, hey, dude, we'll probably never do a Grand Prix record. Want to write a song for this solo record? And he goes, yeah, what are you doing? And I'm going, don't think about concepts. Don't think about what we're doing, styles. Just pretend we're in Grand Prix and shoot me some stuff. So he sent me two or three ideas. I worked on two, completed them. One of them was Like a Ghost. I did a rough vocal with the lyrics, sent it back to him. He goes, ha, this is great. Will they pick it? And I went, no idea. I'm going to send it to the producer, see what happens. And so Alessandro took the track in its entirety And I said, okay, I need a lot of Hammond here. I want a drum fill. There was no drum fill. I said, I want to open the thing in with a drum fill. And then big sort of deep purplish type Hammond at right at the top end. And then we'll put it in different places. And a bitching guitar melody over the top. And he had this great young guitar player, Andreas Cerveso, who I struck gold with that kid because he's just awesome. And I'll tell you a funny story about him in a minute. So he recorded the entire thing. He sent it back. I made a few changes, and I went a little bit more here. And we came up with the final mix. And I couldn't be happier. It's my sort of little mark and tribute to the Grand Prix days because of the connection with Phil. And I'm really happy that made it on there. It's kind of a thing song, you know. And I'm all about vampires and ghosts and demons and all that sort of stuff. So it really was, it's my haunted nightmares, lying in bed, you know, watching the shadows on the wall.
It's so cool.
I have no idea what goes on in my head sometimes, and that's when it comes out. Sometimes it's a bunch of garbage, you know, and then I end up recording the garbage. Yeah, I can't take it serious because, you know, otherwise I'd get lost, and it's like, don't ever take it too serious.
So what's the funny story you had?
Yeah, I love a culmination. Oh, the funny story was when Standing on the Edge was released as the first single, then all of the comments coming in was, oh, dude, I love this. I hope the rest of the album sounds like this. And it reminds me of Dokken. And then it started. And then every comment I could show you, like pages, right, on Facebook, of like, dude, this sounds almost like Dokken. That's okay by me. This sounds like Dokken. That's okay by me. So I'm talking to Jeff Pilson, and Pilson going, we're about ready to kick into the next phase of Black Swan. And he goes, oh, by the way, he said, and of course he has his new record, his new band out with The End Machine, just got released the same time my singles came out. And Jeff said, so George called me. And George said, hey, did you produce that new Macaulay record? And he goes, no. And he goes, sounds just like Dokken. And he goes, I have no idea why. So, as it transpires, that Andrea, the guitar player, is a big George Lynch fan. And he likes all of that sort of stuff. And he's very melodic. He's very flashy. But, oh, man, he just got that feel. The same thing kind of went on into Say Goodbye, the second single, and I'm going, what? So now this is a Dokken record all of a sudden? So it's funny, you know, different ears, different people hear different things, even George.
That's
so
amazing.
I suppose that's a good thing.
They're an awesome band. I mean, oh, Dokken,
of course. And I said to awesome. Jeff, don't be offended. I said, I actually couldn't really sing a Dokken song from beginning to end. He goes, of course you could. I went, I couldn't. Very bad. Yeah.
Now I want to hear you try. No. Okay. My favorite song on the album. Do you remember?
Oh,
that's right. So good. That's the Product Rock at its best.
Thank you. That was my connection to Survivor, because Tommy had worked with the late and great Jimmy Jameson. And Tony Franklin, actually, you know, the fretless monster. Tony introduced me to Tommy. And he goes, I'll give you Tommy's number. Tony and I had actually written two songs on here also that didn't make it. Maybe the next one. So I called Tommy. Tommy goes, dude, I'd love to. And I said, you have the time, because like you're working with some amazing people. You just need to work. So he sent me, I think, probably about four, maybe five songs. And these two stuck out to me. There were two of the earlier songs. And I did a rough lyric and melody and the vocal on it. And I sent it back to Tommy, and he goes, I really like this. This is great. And again, Alessandro recorded those tracks. I mean, Tommy sent in the tracks. And it worked out really, really good. Chosen Few is another song from Tommy and myself. But Do You Remember has got that sort of classic melodic rock feel. And Frontiers, as we know, is big on melodic classic rock. So, you know, I fell within the parameters of requirement. I did what I was told.
Well, you nailed it, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a great song. Actually, somebody posted the other day also that those two songs were their favorites. And Tommy, I don't know, he must be listening. He goes, "Dude, they picked my two songs." And I'm like, "Yes, they did."
So awesome.
Yeah, so thank you for that. Tommy will be particularly happy. Yeah, he's just amazing talent. Yeah.
Well, let him know. Yeah. Yes. Do make sure he knows.
No, I absolutely will. I absolutely will. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so, I just want to hear the Tony Franklin stuff now. I love Tony. It's just
you know, Tony's also in the Vegas show. He comes in and you know, when somebody comes in outside of the core, we call them, you know, our swings. Tony is certainly not a swing bass player. He's the nicest. You know, I've known Tony. Oh, my God. Tony's daughter is probably 16 or 18 years of, and I was there when she was born. I wasn't there, but Tony and I had a project with Greg Bissonette and a different guitar player, a guitar player by the name of Dave Bates, who now fronts a band called On Frontiers. I'll think of it in a second. And we had a project going called Bleed, and Tony was the bass player on it. And it was very heavy, and you know, wouldn't you know it? People were going, "I don't hear it any time on this, man." let me wear a different hat for 10 minutes, you know.
Yeah, if you want to hear any time, go listen to any time. It's right there.
Yeah. So they, you know, they anywhere we kind of tried to pitch it, they were going, it's too different for you. And I'm going, who says so? It's me, right? So people are funny. They just, they don't feel safe if you're not in that bag that they think you belong in, you know? Mm-hmm. And didn't people bury those bags a long time ago? I don't even own a bag.
You would hope so, but I don't know. Well, when we get together, you can play some for us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's, it might be up on YouTube. I'm not sure. It was called Bleed. It was just an EP. There was like actually those four songs on there. Yeah, but some good stuff on there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Well, honestly, I mean, that's the thing. Your voice is so distinct, and I just love listening to it. Like I mean, I remember in the early days of hearing you and just going out and digging up everything that I could possibly find. It's just like, you know, and then finding the Far Corporation, and it's just like, oh my God, he's in here. And it's just like everything that I could find of your work.
Those are good times. And again, as a young lad, I saw Thin Lizzy perform when I was 12 years of age with the original lineup, Phil Lynott, Brian Downey on drums, and Eric Bell on guitar, sitting cross-legged in a room with less than 20 people. And the next time I saw them was at Wembley Arena for Live and Dangerous. And then some years later, including in the Far Corporation days, I actually got to perform and record with Scott Gorham and Brian Robertson. So who's the lucky snotty nosed kid, you know?
Oh, so
dream come true, unbelievable.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Well, Robin, I know we are totally out of time with you, and I hate that.
You guys are awesome. I talk too much.
No, you don't. No, we just don't have enough time. That's all. But tell everybody how to keep up with Robin and where they can find the new album.
Well, Standing on the Edge will be released May 7th on Frontiers SRL Records. Go buy it, order it online through Frontiers Music. And there'll be a new single on the drop date with the album. And thank you for listening. Play it really loud. And then when you're done, put it on repeat and start the process all over again.
That's right. Well, that's been my system. And Robin, once again, we love you. And thank you so much for coming on the show. Continue being you. And we look forward to talking to you again.
Oh, bless you both. Have a happy Friday, you guys.
Same to you.
Thank you.
All the best.
I look forward to getting together with you sometime.
Yes, please. I'll buy you drinks on me.
Sounds good. We're there.
We'll bring you a gift or something.
All right. Yeah. Thank you. God bless, guys.
All
bye-bye.
Right.
Thank you.
Bye now. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.